Okay, folks, welcome to the first ever recording for Enemy Radio. My name is Gar. We're going to be playing some songs. I'm going to be talking some nonsense. Hopefully, everybody will be interacting with me. Send me some questions, some stuff to talk about on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. Hopefully, I'll have all that set up in the next couple of days. But if you have any questions, get in contact. If you want me to talk about something, get in contact. You want me to play some music, get in contact. Every week we'll have new stuff up there. Every week we'll be playing some new songs. I'll be playing little bits of hardcore, some psychobilly, some punk, some indie, some ska, some oi, whatever. Whatever's floating around. At the moment, I'm stuck to using MP3s and CDs and stuff like that. Hopefully, I'll have some room to be able to hook up the turntables and play some actual vinyl. That's it. You're going to hear me saying a lot because I don't know what I'm doing. But eventually we'll get there. So bear with me. First song is Try to Make It Right by Darkbuster from Boston. We'll play that now and then we'll talk about some nonsense. There you have it. Try to Make It Right by Darkbuster. Lenny Lashley, the singer there, just joined the Street Dogs playing guitar. So hopefully that'll be interesting and that'll work out for him. He seems to be a nice guy. He's involved in the Midway Cafe in Boston. I think he's the booker and the manager there. But so I was talking about this podcast bullshit. So I had Derek from Mouthpiece and the Objectors play in the pub that I'm involved in, the Thomas House there in Dublin. I had him in the other day playing a gig. And he handed out some flyers about Radioactive International. And this is something I've been thinking about doing for a while, about doing the podcast. In fact, I thought about doing Thomas Hill's podcast for a while, but it's just the logistics of it, trying to get myself and Kevin together to once a week to record an hour or two show was just a nightmare. So I decided, I got out to Maplin's, I'll buy some cables, I'll buy some connections, I'll buy the stuff I need to get, because I have random bits and pieces from being in bands over the years. Everybody has drawers full of little connections and cables and microphones and everything you think you're going to need. So I needed a few little bits and pieces. I'm also putting together like a vintage hi-fi at the moment, which is the bane of my fucking existence. It's an old Roland amp from the 70s and a set of Wharfdale speakers from the 70s. And so I need some adapters for that. More on that later. That's my fucking current lifestyle choice. Digging through carts and boxes and cables, trying to find connections to make 70s technology work with modern day technology. So I went into Maplin's today and I said, listen, I need a connection to go from a phono, a left and right phono, what normally comes out of a record player. I needed to go into a 70s 5-pin DIN adapter. I mean, it's old, but it's not that fucking old. And the girl working there looked at me like I had six heads. And basically, I had to school her on what a 5-pin DIN was. I had to school her on what the 70s were. I had to tell her what a stereo was. And after about 20 minutes of this bullshit, she basically turned around and said, I don't know what you're talking about. Go on the internet. Fantastic help from Maplin's. So then I said, listen, let's make it a little bit simpler. I need a USB microphone. She looked at me. What's a USB microphone? I said, okay. I explained it to her. She said, let me get the catalog. So she brings out this Maplin's fucking catalog, hands it to me. I find one that I like. I go, okay, see if you have this. She comes back to me a minute later, don't have it. So then I see one of the blue microphones, really good manufacturing microphones. They do specific stuff for podcasting and home recording, and they do proper kind of top of the range recording studio grade stuff. So I said, okay, right, that one's a little bit more expensive. How much is that? Okay, it's whatever, €60, €70. Okay. She goes with the computer, don't have it, it's out of stock. Okay, it's out of stock. When are you getting it back in? Off she goes, comes back. Oh no, they discontinued it. So I ask her, if it's been discontinued, why is it in this year's catalogue? Again, she doesn't know. So then I pick the kind of top of the range looking £120 one. Don't really want to spend it, but I need one. So off she goes, no, don't have it. Sends me around to Pete's. I go around to Pete's. I ask the guy, same question about the 5-pin DIN. He knows what I'm talking about, but he's a prick. He says, no, don't have them. You don't need it. He tells me to tear the cables apart and solder it together. I tell him, if I solder it together, I'm going to burn the fucking house down. He's no interest. So I leave there. I asked him about the microphones. Nah, don't do them. So basically, I went down to the pub and I stole some cables. I stole some microphones. I had some Lion 6 equipment floating around. That's like a USB kind of hub for recording guitar. So that's what you're hearing me through at the moment. I'm also plugged into a kind of a broken Pioneer. JVC Hi-Fi. So that's it's all very not interesting. Hopefully we'll make my way to the interesting stuff at some stage. At the moment, you have to listen to me talking about hooking cables up. This is the first show, after all. What the fuck else am I going to talk about? That's it. Let's play another song. Let's play my favourite Ramon song, Garden of Serenity.
Be
Garden of Serenity by the Ramones. I know it's not a not a lot of people's first choice for their favourite Ramones song. I don't know what it is about it. The verse isn't great, is it? When I listen back to it now, it's really, it's not great. It's that chorus. That chorus is fucking fantastic. The Ramones are one of those weird ones. Is that I've appreciated them and known about them since I was young. I think it's because I'm originally from Cabra, and there was this thing about the Ramones and Cabra, because they played in Cabra once, where everybody's fucking ma and da and granny and auntie went to see the Ramones. But they didn't even go to see the Ramones. They went to look at the punks, you know what I mean? They went out to laugh at people with stupid haircuts and shit in their face. Like, my dad likes fucking Shawaddy Waddy. My ma doesn't even like music. Like, she pretends she likes music. People buy her albums every year for Christmas, you know, the best of Garth Brooks and stuff like that. It's like the best of fucking absolute elevator music bullshit that she likes, which is fair enough. I mean, not everybody's into music. You don't have to be into fucking music. But my dad's got the weirdest taste in music. But anyway, everybody in Carol always talked about, they always talked about the Ramones and how, I was at that gig and was it good? You want to see the people at it? What? Like, yeah, but were the band good? The haircuts, Gar. The haircuts. And lads with, you know, pins in their noses and all the colours. They looked with the, they couldn't say Mohicans. So it was like Mohicans, you know? It's like, the Mohicans everywhere. They all had Mohicans and all, you know, wrong shoes on. And so there's just, Ramones have always been there in the back of my head. People have always talked about the Ramones. Not the music, just the fact that they attracted all these fucking lunatics from all over Ireland that went to see them in Cabra. And even when I was going to the States a couple of years ago, I had to go through immigration. I had a Ramones t-shirt on. And the American guy in immigration there, he seemed like just the top of the writing. And he was like, is that a Ramones t-shirt? I said, yeah. And he went, my wife's seen the Ramones in Cabra. So, Jesus Christ. So thankfully, nice enough fella let me through. But the Ramones kind of saved me there because I'd had a little bit of trouble getting to the States before. I was locked in a cell in Detroit for a couple of hours. Thankfully, only a couple of hours. But I was interrogated by this big fucking biffo dude with a gun. It wasn't the most pleasant experience in my life. But yeah, the Ramones, I always like the Ramones. People say they're overrated. Then you'll get people say they're underrated. They were what they were. They made good fucking poppy, punky rock songs. They're fine. They set the world on fire at one stage because there wasn't that many people doing anything like that. On that side of the world anyway. And pretty much wherever they went, they left a trail of new bands in their wake. So if it wasn't for the Ramones, we wouldn't have a lot of bands that people still talk about to this day. So basically, my deal is, I like hardcore. I like all sorts of hardcore. I like European stuff. I like American stuff. I like some Asian hardcore bands. I like some Irish hardcore bands. Recently, the last couple of years since I've been playing with Skeleton Crew, I've been introduced to Psychobilly. And Psychobilly is one of those weird genres. Like I'm sure loads of you know some fucking Psychobilly bands. I know nothing about it. I know if someone plays a song for me, if I like it, I don't know anything about it. The people in Psychobilly, generally, if you like it, then you know everybody in it. Like I've been lucky enough to meet a couple of these guys and lots of them being nice. It's the closest thing that it's the closest thing to like the kind of 70s punk scene to me, because they're all fucking drug addled lunatics. Like they're absolute psychopaths. You talk to people who were in punk bands from the 70s or 80s now, and then a lot of them have calmed down. They're like, oh geez, I was going to die. I was doing so much fucking speed and sniffing so much glue and like drinking 24 hours a day, and I was riding everything that walked. Oh, I'm fucked. Like I had to slow down or else I was going to die. And you talk to people in psychobilly bands who've been in psychobilly bands since like the early 80s. They don't give a shit. They're still doing it. They're fucked. These lads are absolutely fucked, and they simply do not care. They just, all they want to do is play gigs. And the older guys, for some reason, tend to just do a shitload of speed or coke before they got on stage, just so they can play that fast and with the intensity that they're kind of renowned for. Then you've got these psychobilly festivals that happen all over Europe, a couple of them in America, and thousands of people go to these things, you know, and thousands of people who all look exactly the same, kind of jostling for individuality. and trying to get their hair the highest, get the stupidest colours into their hair, you know, wear the craziest shit. But like, that's their thing, which is cool. For me, I've no interest. I've no interest in looking like anything. I have thousands of fucking hardcore and punk and psychobilly t-shirts, but like, it's just a fucking t-shirt. You have to wear a t-shirt. I might as well have something on it. If it was as easy to come across plain black t-shirts or plain white t-shirts, that's probably what I'd wear. But you get given these things, you buy them when you're young, you end up with lots of stuff. But in terms of the way you look, it makes no difference. It's all music at the end of the day. I listen to just as much soul as I listen to punk rock. But I suppose let's play something a little bit different. It's not really different at all, really, is it? Because it's all fucking music. Let's play some Sick of It All. Probably my favourite band of all time. I've only gotten to see them once when they played in Dublin. Just because I don't really believe in travelling to see bands. I don't know why. It's the thoughts of like getting on a plane to go to London, to go to a venue I don't know, to hang out with people I don't know, to see a fucking band for like an hour. I can't. The thoughts of it. The fucking thoughts of it. And I know people who do it every weekend. I know people who went to see the Deftones in London a couple of weeks ago and they're like, oh, it's amazing. Yeah, fuck that. Fuck that shit, man. Getting on a plane, dealing with like the traffic in London, the trains in London, all that bullshit to see a band. Like, there ain't no band that like enough to fucking go to a different country to see them. Just wait. They'll end up here at some stage or they'll play some bullshit festival or whatever. But let's play a Sick of It All song. Whatever. First one to come up. I'll tell you what it's called when it's over.
I said, sit down and shut up.
Thinking back on what we had, whoa! Wanting it made, wanting it bold, this man watches over you. Where do you go? What will you do? Your mind is racing in a million directions. All in one, where will you turn? You're not in this all alone. Just look around and you'll see the answer right. Before your eyes, I'm here for you, and you for me. It's hard to open up. Just try, and you'll see. Too bad, we'll always be there. Thinking back on what we shared, wow. All the time that we had, all the time both good and bad. A growing friendship falls to blood.
Good Looking Out by Sick of It All. Again, Sick of It All, told you already, one of my favourite bands. Any time of the day, any time of the night, there's always a Sick of It All song. I love all that old New York hardcore stuff. Got lucky a couple of years ago, got to play with the Cro-Mags, one of my favourite bands. It's not the real Cro-Mags, but you know, John Joseph was singing, that's close enough, that'll do the trick. Nice guy. Invited me and my friend Shay over to New York for his book launch for the book Evolution of a Cro-Magnon, which is kind of his biography, his life story. Luckily enough, 20 Bulls, who I play with, were over. We were doing some shows in the States, and the timing kind of worked out that me and Shay spent a week in Boston hanging out, which I thought Boston was going to be fucking amazing, because lots of the bands that me and Shay really liked, like Slapshot and stuff like that, they were all Boston bands, you know, Blood for Blood. We were like, oh my god, we're going to like the hub, because as much as I love New York hardcore stuff, for some reason the Boston bands just kind of had this rawness, it was closer to the punk rock than a lot of the New York stuff, which seemed to be maybe a little bit more metal to me. So we went to Boston, we were hanging out, and we got to, you know, hang out with some local bands and go to all these pubs and went to all the record shops, and it was the most affluent place. It was crazy. Everything was so fucking upmarket and posh. It was even when we went out at night, like, I felt fucking safe. I could walk around with my money stapled to my balls, like, and nobody fucking take it, you know. It was, there was no, I'm sure, listen, the same as every other city in Europe, there's places we are not supposed to go. But, like, just walking around the city and trying to get lost, because as a rule, you know yourself, that's the best way to do it. You go for it, you get lost, you can't find a bus or a train, you'll figure out, you'll get a cab. But we Boston, the people there were amazing, but the city just didn't have that roughness to it. Now, New York, people will say the same, it's been gentrified kind of so much, it's barely New York anymore. But New York just had this, like, you go over to, you know, what was Hell's Kitchen. I'm smoking, by the way. You'll hear me stop every now and again. You go to Hell's Kitchen, and at night, yeah, it's a bit rough. You know, you go past 101st or 102nd Street, I think it was, and which is where we were staying. It was a little bit rough at night. It was a little bit weird. We got used to it after a couple of days, but again, going back to the original point, we got invited to John Joseph's book launch party, so it was cool. Got to hang out with all these people. Got to hang out with John, talked to him, got some books signed. Got to talk to lots of really nice people. I nearly set my beard on fire, by the way, lighting that cigarette. That wasn't fun. That would have been interesting to catch at the microphone. Unfortunately, this isn't a video cast. But it was cool. So I still have some signed stuff by John. We got to play that one gig with him. I was supposed to get him over a couple of years ago to do a spoken word thing. But it didn't work out. Again, trying to promote shows in Ireland, you might as well be just punching yourself in the face repeatedly. People will tell you one thing, but then you run the show and nobody comes out. I'm not going to complain about it. It's the way it goes. Everyone's fucked. Everybody's got no money. Actually, that's a lie. Everybody has fucking money. Everybody has the same amount of money they had to begin with. They just don't want to spend it. I don't want to spend it. Nobody wants to spend money. But you know what? You can't take it to the fucking grave, which you see. You might as well give it to somebody. Let someone else be happy with it, because it ain't making you fucking happy. Let's play some more music. Let's play some psychobilly. We talked about some psychobilly earlier. Let's play an Irish psychobilly band. Let's play some Klingon stuff. They are Irish. You'll see stuff on websites about them being from the UK, but they're all Irish lads. Originally, they're all Irish lads. They went to London because that's where the scene was. So let's play a Klingon song. Klingons, Werewolf Boogie. Like I said, a lot of Irish lads went to London in the early 80s and wrote some songs and dressed up as clowns, then they dressed up as aliens, then they dressed up as fucking babies, they wore nappies. Nice lads, all absolute fucking psychopaths, lovely fellas. Mocker the drummer is a good friend of mine. Count him as one of my best friends, actually. He's a lovely fella. Recently got married, so I hope everyone works out for him and Daniela. Lovely lads. I was talking to somebody the other day about craft beer and how it's kind of changed everything in Ireland. Obviously, kind of having a bar, I get to see the other end of it. Have another cigarette because I can't die quick enough. Yeah, it's interesting for me to see on the other side of the bar the way people are reacting to craft beers. We do like a 50-50 mix of kind of traditional stuff and craft beer. So yeah, you can get your pint of Guinness, your pint of Bulmers, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then we do lots of stuff. We do like Sierra Nevada, we do Anchor, we do Brewdog, Goose Island, you name it, across the range, European stuff, American stuff, whatever. We have a shot at it. And to me, it's all it's like this weird kind of evolution in consumer tastes. And that when I was young, when you went to a pub, you had a choice of like 3 or 4 drinks. And as a rule, you picked the cheapest one. You went into a place and I had a pint for £2. That's what you drank. And you drank until you got fucking annihilated. And someone poured you into a taxi and you went home. Now, I don't think anybody, really gets that drunk anymore. Not in my circle of friends. It's weird. Everybody kind of grew out of this self-destructive fucking, let's get smashed Friday. Rah! Go out at 7 o'clock and fall home fucking 3 days later. I think a lot of my friends have kind of grown out of that. Which is good. I mean, it's healthy, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a couple of beers and kind of hanging out with your friends and having fun. But I think the day of physically trying to fucking hurt yourself with alcohol, hopefully that's kind of over and done with. And that's one of the things I said when we got involved with Thomas House, is that I didn't want to be responsible for the downfall of fucking civilization. I didn't want to be serving alcoholics. I didn't want to be serving people so much beer that they have to, you know, have to be lifted out of the bar by their friends. Because it's all, I think there's enough homeless people and enough alcoholics in this city that problem needs to be addressed without this generation creating a whole new batch of them. So, but the craft beer thing is weird because, like I said, when I was young, people used to drink as much as they could. And now it's completely different. You get people who come in and they're looking for that kind of gourmet experience, you know. They're not particularly brand loyal. They're not loyal to any one brand, really. They kind of jump around a lot. So you got everything from like craft stout to craft ale, craft lager, pilsners, fucking cider, you know. And then they come in and they will really, they will just go around the world, you know. They go up the fridge, they look at the bottles, or they look what we have on tap and they go, you know, what's this? And you have to be a teacher to a degree as well if you've got a pub now. The day of the bar robot, you know, point again, please, douche, there you go, £4, please. Like that day is gone, I think. You have to be a teacher, you have to be skilled, and you have to have knowledge of what you're selling. Because people want new stuff, they want to try new things. So, and I was the same. I was, like, the people giving me beer now to try that. Even 2 years ago, I'd be like, fuck that shit, give me the fucking pint of Carlsberg or whatever, you know. But now I generally don't drink any of that stuff. Mostly because when I wake up in the morning after drinking lots of craft beer, I feel okay. You know, it's there's the chemical and the brewing aspect of it is different. Your body reacts to it in a different way. You also get a different kind of drunk, which is interesting to try. But like I said, people come in, they go, okay, I'll try this, and they kind of go around the world, and they don't. I'm not seeing that fall down smash ball drunk like I used to see. Or somebody comes in and just sculling Guinness. They're just literally two every half an hour, just donk, donk, like fucking soup down their hatch, you know. Like, you still get people doing that, but I'm not seeing that level of drunk where there's like somebody asleep in the corner, or somebody fell asleep in the fucking toilet and I need to kick the door in, you know. That's I'm not seeing so much of that. People come in and it's weird. They come in and they'll start off with a couple of their kind of favourite brews, you know. Like, one of my favourites is the Anchor Humming Ale. I love it. It's delicious. And like they'll come in, maybe they'll have a couple of bottles of that, and then they'll get a bit adventurous, you know, and they go, what's the strongest thing you have? And they'll go, okay, I've got this, it's, you know, 9.4 or this is 13%. They go, fuck it, give me one of them. And I'll try one of them, and they'll, like, at the end of it, they're like, Jesus Christ, that's so strong, give me a bottle of random IPA, which is nice and light and refreshing. Like I said, compare that to a couple of years ago where people were just throwing pints of fucking Bavaria and Tennent's and whatever down their hatch just to have something. Because a lot of people aren't into drinking. They're really not into drinking. They're into being drunk. They're into having like the crack with their friends. But they're not into drinking. They're not the way people who go to restaurants regularly and you know, follow chefs around or whatever. It's not like that. It's like 99% of people, I think it's about 99 anyway, I think 99% of people are just out for the crack. And it's the same as people who got the fucking McDonald's or Burger King or the Chipper, you know. It's all right, it's food, but it'll get you there. When you eat it, you'll be full. You might fucking pay for it later, but you'll eat it, you'll be full. I think that's the same with a lot of kind of regular beer that you'll see everywhere. It's fine, tastes okay. It'll get you there. It will get you drunk for cheap. But my retort would be that a lot of the craft beer will get you to that level of drunk. Not necessarily quicker, but a little bit more evenly. And you won't suffer as much for the next day. Also, it's crazy sunny out. I'm stuck in a fucking back room recording all this stuff. I had the window open and I'm after burning my leg through the window. What type of bullshit is this? What type of life is this I'm living? I'm locked in a room, in a smoky room, with a microphone and the sun burning me, and then I could be out playing football. Don't play football, that's a lie. I could be out doing something. I don't really want to go out. It's my day off. I hate going out. I don't go to the pub anymore since I got a pub. What's the point in going to a pub? It's nonsense. I sure would be like working in a chipper. If you worked in a chipper, would you eat chips? Fuck no, absolutely not. You'd never want to see another fucking chip. It's a bit like that working in a pub. Let's play another song. Let's play something completely fucking different. Let's see if we can find some Shed 7. For some reason I always had a soft spot for Shed 7. I really disliked Oasis, and I wasn't a big Blur fan. That whole thing kind of passed me over, mostly because I wasn't a fucking townie scumbag. But for some reason Shed 7 always wrote some really good songs that stuck with me over the years. So let's play a Shed 7 song.
Go when you need to. I'll talk to you.
So that's Where Have You Been Tonight by Shed 7. It's really difficult to think about things to talk about when you don't really have a list of things to talk about. Obviously, you kind of have to pop the cherry on it and just talk shy and hope for the best. I'm not bad at talking shy. I'm not bad at talking shy. I got better at it when I got into the pub game, because people just want to talk shy in the pub. They just want to talk nonsense. You get people come in by themselves, and some of them, you know, you get the old guys or whatever come in with the newspaper, and they just want to sit there, read the newspaper, have a pint, and then they stroll on. Then you get people who, I don't know whether they just have no mates or I don't know which way it works, but they'll come in and they'll be really kind of aggressive in their talking to you. Like, they'll come in, they'll sit down, they'll order a pint, and they'll go, "So what's the story with you? Yeah, anything strange? Oh, I was down with my mates the other day and he had a gun." And you're left kind of on the back step about the whole thing. And we've got some regulars in the pub. And for the most part, some of them are lovely, lovely fellas. Some of them are wastes of fucking food. But some of them are really nice. There's no real arseholes there. We kind of got lucky in that regard. There's no arseholes. We don't have any overly aggressive people and people who start trouble all the time. You just have people that I personally... I'm just not mad on them, you know, like I taunt them and I'm just going, oh, I wish they'd just fuck off somewhere else. But for the vast majority of our regulars, I love them like fucking like brothers, you know, and I will gladly stand there talking all night. That's one of my favourite things about the pub, is that you can go in and you can just talk, whether it be about kind of music or movies or whatever. You can talk to these people, but there's some lads who just come in randomly, you know, you don't know them, they come in, and like I said, they just put you on the back heel instantly the minute they walk in, you know. It's like, oh, I'm just out there stabbing someone, and you don't know what to do. You're like, oh, gee, what the fuck? And they kind of pull out the phone, it's like, oh, yeah, back in a minute. And they kind of go around the back, and you're pretending to play with your phone, or you're pulling their point, and you grab some dirty glasses, and you're trying to kind of process the whole thing in your head. You're like, oh, shit, what the fuck do I do now? Like, is he messing? Did he just stab someone? What the fuck is this dude? And that kind of happens randomly, where someone will just hit you with something out of the kind of left field. There's a regular in the pub, we call him End Of. I won't give you his real name, but as a rule, he's a nice enough fella. But he told me a couple of weeks ago that he got a phone call from a friend of his in like Ballyferma, and he said, like, oh, Gar, you know, I got this phone call. And they were like, oh man, you know, you need to come over to the gaff. So I said to him, well, you know, why did you need to go over the gaff? And he goes, man, they're after killing someone. They're after killing someone. We brought his body up to the gaff. We don't know what to do about it. So I kind of had to stop him there. And I said, listen, you know, I like you and all, but, you know, don't tell me anymore, man. I don't want to know anymore. Like, really, I'm not messing. Like, you know, have your point and, you know, it's cool. Like, fucking, let's talk about, you know, Buddy Holly or something, whatever, you know, he's got a Buddy Holly obsession. But I had to stop him right there, and that does happen. But for me, I've got this fucking fascination, and I always have. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about it. I've always had a fascination with the weirder shit, like UFOs and fucking sea serpents. I don't know what, people laugh at me the minute I fucking talk about it. But at the same time, there's a couple of guys who do drink in the pub who have a kind of a flying interest in it, or a passing interest in it, and, you know, they will kind of make an effort. If they know it's me working alone, they'll read up some shit before they come in to talk about. And I talk about that stuff all day. My current fascination is Bigfoot. I can't get enough of it. And one of the reasons I can't get enough of it is because the people who are into Bigfoot are fucking weirder than Bigfoot itself. Like, it's they're fucking crazy. They're fucking batshit crazy. Like, should be locked the fuck up, like, talking to some of these people. Like every now and again, I go onto Facebook, and I go onto some of the kind of random Bigfoot kind of pages and stuff like that. And there's people who have kind of invented scientific reasons as to why Bigfoot hasn't been captured or caught properly on film. And like they're talking about, oh, you know, he can cloak himself. And like I'm reading about him, like, cloaking himself. Like, the people believe, like, this fucking Bigfoot can turn invisible. Like, let's get it straight out. I believe in I believe there's something there. I don't know whether it's a big fucking ape or a big dude or something, but I believe there's something there. Personally, I want to believe there's something there, because it's just, life is pretty fucking boring if you look at it from the outset, you know. You're born, you go to school, you get a job, and then you kind of piss and shit yourself for a couple of years till you're putting a box in the ground. And it would be nice to know there's a big hairy ape man running around the jungle somewhere, you know. So I'm reading about this stuff, and I'm like cloaking himself. I'm reading about it, and people believe he can turn himself invisible, and people believe that he can interfere with people's thought patterns. Then there are people who believe that he can emit ultrasonic noise to make you fucking pass out, and he can like can take control of your body. And look, again, first things first, there is little, I'm not going to say none, but there's very little scientific evidence that there is a creature that we call Bigfoot out there. But there is fucking none that any creature on Earth can fucking like control your mind with ultrasonic fucking sounds. You know what I mean? So not only are we looking for like the best hide and seek fucking like champion in the world, like dude can turn invisible and take over your mind. Like, people who actually believe this and put this stuff on the internet, like, there should be some sort of fucking Facebook police, you know? Because if you were getting interested in Facebook, or you were getting interested in Bigfoot and you were looking this stuff up, like, if you read that, actually, do you know what, then again, if you fucking believe that, you're fucking gobshite, it frustrates me so much. It makes me angry. It makes me angry listening to people talk bullshit about bullshit, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I believe in, like, sea serpents and fucking, I kind of believe in ghosts, but, like, I'm giving all these things common names, you know? Like, ghosts. I believe there's something fucking weird that can happen every now and again, because I've seen some stuff that I can't logically explain away. I'm sure someone else could. Like, dry shites. Like, here's an example. Like, a couple of years ago, 20 Bulls were playing some gigs in the States. And we got invited to play in, Jesus Christ, I don't know where it was, some small town in northern New York, in upstate New York. So we went up and we played the gig, it was fine, and we stayed in this old, it was like a B&B kind of hotel. It looked like the Amityville Horror House. And we were invited to stay there. And I think the woman who owned the place, her name was Debbie, and she was really nice, and she explained the situation. She said, listen, this is my family's hotel. We've been closed for the last year or two because there's just no business up here anymore. But, you know, I still live here. You guys are more than welcome to stay here. The kitchen's open. The kitchen's open. I'll make you guys some food, and there's some beers in the fridge. You walk away. So we're fucking, this is great. You know, we're having a couple of beers. We're hanging out. It's really warm. And we're talking away to her, and she says, okay, I'm going to put you guys, there's a big room upstairs, it's got like 6 or 7 beds in it, so that's where you're going to stay. So we're like, yeah, sweet. So she says, listen, you know, I'm not trying to spook you, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to freak you out, like, because you're new here, and I'm, you know, trying to have a laugh. She said, but like, this place is haunted, you know, believe it or not, like, doesn't matter what you believe, this place is haunted, and this is one of the rooms that lots of crazy stuff happens in all the time. So me being the only fucking gobshite who believes in all that stuff, I'm fucking scared now. I'm shitting it. And everybody's picking beds. And it works out that like 2 people have to crash in the same double bed, which is fine, it happens. And so I grab a hold of Skinny. Skinny's a drummer in 20 Bulls. Like, Skinny, man, fucking it's me and you, baby, in this bed, because I ain't fucking sleeping alone. I ain't sleeping alone here. There's a fucking ghost here. So he's like, you're a fucking gobshite. So we get into bed, we go to sleep. Nothing happens. Nothing. Not a single solitary fucking whistle or pop. Fucking nothing. Got up in the morning, a little bit disappointed. I wanted some ghosts, but didn't happen. Then the next year, we came back to the States. And we played the exact same place. And we were invited again to stay in the hotel by Debbie. And off we went. And there were 2 bedrooms this time. We stayed on a different level of the hotel. And there was 3 of us in one room and 2 in another. And me, Gav and Skinny, the guitarist and the drummer, were in one room. Again, me and Skinny had to split the bed. Gav just slept on the floor. Gav had actually taken some Valium, I think, because he can't sleep and there's other people in the room. So he took some Valium. He kind of passed out on the floor. And Kieran and Shay, I think, were next door. And it was the warmest place I'd ever been in my life. I literally never sweated so much. And the bed was made of fucking concrete. So We had the window open, but it was absolutely dead still. There was no wind, there was no nothing. And the window had one of those kind of insect screens on it that you see in America to stop bugs from coming in. And there was like a chest of drawers, a big old fucking chest of drawers. I think like a 16-drawer chest of drawers, a big one, beside the bed. And the doorway then obviously went out into the hallway. And there was nobody else here except for two guys next door in the room and Debbie, who owned the place. So get into bed, we can't sleep, me and Skinny, we're fucking lying there. Gav's fast asleep, of course, he took some Valium, he's passed out on the floor. And me and Skinny are kind of lying in the bed, we're like talking, and we're like, Jesus Christ, man, it's so fucking warm. Like, oh, I can't believe it. Like, are we going to sleep? Are we going to, whatever, just bullshit. And all of a sudden, the door gets burst open. And I mean violent. Door kind of comes fucking straight in. So we jump out of bed, we're like, what the fuck? We run out into the hallway, nobody there. Nobody, it's pitch black. Not a fucking person out there. And it was one of those old hallways where it was creaky as fuck. If anybody was walking around, even running, you'd hear them a mile away. Because the building itself was so old. So we close the door and kind of go back, kind of sitting on the bed. I think I lit up a smoke or some shit like that. I was leaning towards the window. Again, dead still. No wind. No nothing. The door, once again, bang, comes flying in. Now, this is not like a door swinging open. This is somebody kicking a fucking door. If you've ever seen or heard somebody kicking a door in, even on TV, this is what it was like. It was violent. So again, we get up. I'm like, fuck this, man. This fucking, she told us this place was haunted. She told us that this place was fucking haunted. We didn't believe her. Skinny's like, no, it's the wind. It's the fucking wind. There, man. That there is no wind. I wish there was fucking wind. I'm roasting here. I'm sweating my arse off. So we decided to wedge the door open this time. So we took one of my shoes and we wedged it underneath the door. Old kind of fucking oak door. Wedged it underneath, like, well and proper. Like, it wasn't budging. Took two of us to put it in there, in fact. So we're like, yeah, fuck that ghost. Ghost can't kick in the door again. Well, I'm saying that. Skinny's like, the wind, you know, the wind can't blow the door open again with a kick. And back at the bed, that's probably about fucking 4 o'clock in the morning at this stage. And again, the fucking door burst closed this time. Which is the weird one about it. I never known the wind to be so forceful to be able to kind of dislodge a door that's been jammed shut. Or jammed open, should I say. And the fucking thing burst closed. And it, like, the room vibrated with the fucking violence of this thing closing. So I'm like, fuck this shit, I'm getting the fuck up. So I get up and I go into the room next door where Shay and Kieran are. I open the door, they're fast asleep. By the way, their room had air conditioning. They were fucking freezing. They were freezing in there. They had like duvets and sleeping bags over them. And so I'm like, I'm waking kind of Shay up. I'm like, dude, you know, wake the fuck up. What? There, this fucking place is haunted. He's telling me to fuck off. So I'm like, dude, the fucking ghost, man. There's a ghost kicking the shit out of the fucking door. So he's like, go back to fucking bed. I'm like, man, we need to leave. We need to get the fuck out of here. Gav, by the way, is fast asleep. He doesn't hear any of this. Kieran doesn't wake up. Shay is kind of telling me to fuck off. So I go back in and I close the door and I say, listen, man, if that happens one more time, like, I'm fucking out of here. I'm going to sleep in the van. I don't care. So, fair enough, a couple of minutes later, happens once again, bang, door gets burst open. Me and Skinny say, right, we have to figure this out. I'm getting dressed at this stage because I'm fucking leaving. So I go over to the door, and we're looking at it, and I'm like, you know, man, it doesn't make any sense how this is, you know, I'm not hearing the door. When you turn the knob in the door handle, it squeaks, you know, I'm not hearing that before the thing gets kicked open. It's like it's all happening in the one fluid motion. So we hear a weird noise, and we turn around, and all the drawers that are in the chest of drawers are out now. They were sticking out. And they were closed beforehand because the bed and the chest of drawers were so close together that you wouldn't have been able to get in and out of the bed if the drawers and the chest of drawers were open. But they were all open now because we weren't in the bed. So I fucked this shit up, bag on, left Gav there asleep. I was in the fucking car. I got into the van. I waited there till about 6:30 in the morning. Then I went in, woke everybody up, told them we had to leave, and we went and we played some other gig there. But that's just one of the stupid fucking nonsense stories that I have about random shit. But I love that stuff. I can listen to people telling me those stories all day and all night. I don't know what it is. it's probably because I've always been into the more kind of fantastical things. I love comic books. I love stupid sci-fi movies. I love fantasy movies. I love all that stuff. It's one of my favourite things in life is the it feels like a collection of kind of shit knowledge that I have to do with like comic books and, you know, everything. Like I can't get enough of it. But that's a long time worth of shit talk. Let's play some music. What music shall we play? Let's have a look. Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to play a Dickie song. I'm going to play Dickie's cover of Nobody But Me. Dickies with Nobody But Me. Okay, so we're coming to the end of things here now. We're at the 55-minute mark. I'm assuming it's an hour I'm supposed to do. I didn't really wait for the emails to come through from Radioactive. So I'm kind of guessing. I was looking at their timesheet for all their other shows, and they all seem to be around the hour. An hour's fine. My arse is numb anyway. I'm sitting on a crappy kitchen table, and I'm probably going to die if I stay in this room any longer. But I put some stuff out on Twitter earlier, kind of asking what to talk about, and a couple of people came back to me with some random stuff. People wanted me to talk about peanut butter. Don't really have any opinion on peanut butter. I like peanut butter, but I don't really have anything to say about it. Somebody talked about carbohydrates. Don't really know what a carbohydrate is, to be honest with you. This is one of these things that When I worked in the Mater Hospital, I heard people talk about it a lot, you know. It's like, oh, you need to cut down your carbohydrates. What the fuck is a carbohydrate? You need to, you know, increase your protein. What the fuck is protein? I don't know anything about dietary needs and nutritional needs. I don't understand it, really and truly. Someone else wanted me to talk about the NSX festival that's happening in Dundalk. I know the lineup is fantastic. I don't have it to hand. I know Curb Dog and Discharge are playing it, and 20 Bulls are playing, and Skeleton Crew. Hopefully on different days. I don't think I could do the two on the same day. We're in talks with them about hopefully putting up like a pop-up Thomas House bar. Maybe not this year, but hopefully next year, if there is another festival next year, that's what we'll be able to do. We'll be able to do like a kind of a portable Thomas House bar, which would be interesting. At the moment, I think it's bring your own beer, which is fine. That's probably a better option for the first year to get people interested. People love a fucking bag of cans, don't they? So I think what we're going to do is we're probably going to lead out now with a track. We're going to pick a song. I don't know what song, really. I'm looking through stuff here now. This is not very professional. Kind of randomly pressing buttons. Ah, this'll do. This song'll do. I'm gonna play The Oppressed, Work Together, and hopefully I'll have some of the random bullshit that went wrong today worked out for next week, and hopefully I have time to do it next week. My girlfriend's on work at the moment. If she was here and I was doing this, she'd just be standing behind me laughing at me for talking into a microphone to nobody, having conversations with myself in the hopes that people listen to it and come back to me and give me more stuff to talk about. This shit is fucking embarrassing. Like, when you think about it, it's me in a room talking to a microphone about nothing, you know, about bullshit, playing songs. She'd be standing behind me going, like, who are those songs for? And I'd be going, I don't know, like, the people. And then she'll ask me, who are you talking to? And I'd be like, I don't know, the people. And she'd be asking me who the people are, and I'd be, I don't know, just random people. So that's unfortunately the way it goes. So let's, I'm having deja vu here. Okay, let's play Work Together by The Oppressed, and hopefully we'll have all our problems worked out by next week. And thanks for listening to Enemy Radio. Good luck.